So today, you notice that the Altar Guild has been hard at work. Everything is red, including me, wore my new red stole. And why do we do that? Because today is Reformation Sunday. What does Reformation Sunday mean? It is the Sunday closest to when, in the 16th century, Martin Luther, at the time he did this, he was still a monk, Catholic monk, nailed 95 issues that he would like to debate about the church at the time. Nailed them onto the door of the church at Wittenberg, allegedly, and invited public debate. They were never debated because someone took that information, put it into the newfangled invention called a printing press, and started disseminating this information all over. And people were reading it and going, yeah, you know, how come? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, why do we do that? There was a lot of that going on, and these ideas spread and spread and spread. And it led to reform of the church, not in the way that Luther had intended, but in the way that God made it happen. And so we ended up with the Protestant Reformation, which meant that Luther was excommunicated along with any of the other reformers. Luther wasn't the only one. He was excommunicated from the Catholic Church. They formed their own church. And we called themselves Protestants because they protested against the policies of the Catholic Church at that time. So, why red? Because we believe that it was by a process of the Holy Spirit, and the color of the Holy Spirit is red. And so whenever we have, like on Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, that is red. Confirmation Sunday, red. And a lot of times we will do it on the same Sunday as Pentecost. For Reformation Sunday, the blowing of the Spirit's wind through our lives, through the church, through every bit of our being, is signified by red. That's why we have red stole, red paraments. I see some of you are wearing red. I mean, like Rhonda came prepared. Either Valentine's Day or red, right, for Reformation. So, yeah. So I wanted to explain that to you before I start preaching. Then I will count my explanation as time, Joanne. That'll still be part of the sermon, okay? So I know you're keeping track. I love calling people out, especially, yeah, she's a good egg. She'll take that. So what I wanted to preach on this Sunday was something entirely different. Normally, I preach on the gospel. I preach on the you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. I preach on that. I've preached on Paul talking about in the letter to the Romans, talking about being justified by faith. I preached on that. I preached on these over and over and over, these texts. These are the Reformation texts. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to preach on the psalm today for something different, and yet it is the same. So I gave you the information about the Holy Spirit, about the red. And now I want to talk about another concept of being Lutheran flavor of Christian. That is a very difficult concept, and it is now and not yet. The cover of the bulletin had that picture of the guy who's standing on one side of a chasm, and then there's a cliff on the other side, and he's looking over there, and he's in this place, but he wants to be here. It's the now and the not yet. Do any of you know the story of Schrodinger's cat? If you know it, just give me a wave. Okay, we got one back here. I see some conversation among the Hooter family over here, so I think there's some knowledge there. Schrodinger's cat, it's a thought experiment. If you put a cat in a box, since there are no kids here, I'll explain fully. If you put a cat in a box, the cat cannot get out. The cat's going to starve if you just leave it there. So you want to open the box and get the cat out, right? But if you open the box is designed so that if you open the box to try to rescue the cat, I don't know if there's like gas or something, the cat instantly dies. So the cat is both now alive, and at the same time, the cat is unalive. Do you see that concept? Because if you try to get the cat out of there, the cat's dead. No matter what, the cat is both in an alive state and an unalive state. That is really what Reformation is like. We are in one state. We know we are human. We know we are sinners. We know what we are. But we are also saints because of what God has done for us. So let's take a look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is where Luther got his imagery for a mighty fortress. If you go and look at the words for a mighty fortress, you're going to see those same images in this psalm. That's where it comes from. And so it starts with God is our refuge and strength, with just a strong statement. A very present help in trouble. God is now our help in trouble. And it says, therefore, we will not fear. But the earth's going to change. Stuff is going to happen. Mountains will shake. Waters will roar and foam. There will be trembling of the earth. And yet we know that God is a present help in trouble. And then we go on to verse 4. It's, there is a river whose streams make glad. So it's happiness. God is in the midst of the city. It will not be moved. And yet we find out in verse 6 that the nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. The earth is melting before our very eyes. But God is in the midst of it. It shall not be moved. How can it be both things? We find out in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So Reformation, we have a certain, as Lutherans, we have a certain way of thinking about Reformation. But there are a couple of other ways to think about it. One is Reform School. Anybody remember that term? Reform School. You send your kid there if your kid's acting out so that your kid learns to be better. So Reform School is going to change that kid to be a better kid. Now there's also the actual sense of the word, the fuller sense of the word, which is reform. To reform something. This is something nature does all the time. A seed splits open and becomes a plant. A bud flowers and then produces fruit. Things change. The trees around us, after that big wind this past week, they look real different now. But they're still trees. It's just that they are at a different state right now. Rivers and streams, if you've ever seen a geological picture timeline of Niagara Falls, where the river comes through, like say 10,000 years ago to today, Niagara Falls has moved a lot. And so it is still Niagara Falls, but it is reforming all the time. And in its reforming, it is reforming the landscape. A concrete sidewalk or your driveway reforms after a particularly difficult winter, right? So what it does is it starts heaving, and pretty soon you've got a really different form of your driveway or your sidewalk that has to get fixed. Because it's different now. It has reformed. The body of Christ reforms. We lose people. We gain people. That reforms what this congregation does. This congregation has reformed after this trauma of COVID. We have reformed to come together again, to do German Fest again. You can still smell the remnants of German Fest. We have come back together. It is a reforming of us. Even our denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, it is not the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, it is in America. Our denomination right now has a committee looking at the renewal of the ELCA. Is how we are structured good for the way the world is today? Does it make economic sense? Does it make sense in terms of governance? And above all, does it promote the good news of God in Jesus Christ the way it needs to be proclaimed now? And so we have a long-term committee that is looking at that. We are reforming as a denomination. And where does this all start? It starts with each one of us. In our baptism, we are reformed into God's people. And so we are saint. We are given that forgiveness of sins. We are washed in the waters of baptism. And yet we sin. As St. Paul says, the things I don't want to do are the things I do, and the things I want to do are the things I don't do. Don't you feel that way sometimes? I feel that way a lot. But that is reforming us. Forming us into more of a follower of Jesus. Because we know our sin. We know what we are not doing, and we know what we are doing wrong. Sometimes we don't always know. But we know our own sin, our own lack. And yet, God says, I have made you right with me. St. Paul also says, while we were still sinners, God made us right with God through Jesus' death and resurrection. We're still sinners, but we've already been made right with God. We are living in the now and the not yet. I call that hope. I call that inspiration. I call that Holy Spirit. Look at our world today. We're in the midst of an election cycle, and every election cycle is a chance to reform the way we live in this country. What our priorities are, what our ideologies are. We continually reform those things. We don't necessarily reform them, as in reform school, make it better. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be better, but it is reforming. This is an important distinction to make. Paul also talks about the renewal of things. Renewing our hearts, or no, is it Jeremiah? I think it's Jeremiah. It says, I wasn't going to go to Jeremiah. Anyway, it talks about the renewing of ourselves. That's not reforming. Renewing is something else. Renewing is going back to the beginning and starting over. Reforming is taking what we have now and using it differently. That is the essence of baptism. The way we are now, God says, you're okay. Yeah, you do some stuff wrong, but I'm going to change that for you, and I am going to change your hearts and your minds, and I am going to put that all together for you in a different way so that you can follow me better. And one day, in the not yet, but also the now, all will be right. All will be reconciled. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter, the mountains shake, the waters roar and foam, the mountains tremble, the earth changes. But God is in the midst of her. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is always and ever and certainly our refuge. Amen. Let's sing.